Welcome to this first episode of the Ramps on the Moon audio diary, where I'll be chatting with some of our cohort partners to find out a little bit about their journey on the Ramps on the Moon cohort. And I've got with me today Zanna Hornby, first of all, who is our Ramps on the Moon communications and PR consultant. Say hello, Zanna.
Hello, Michelle.
I've also got Holly Cox and Ben Anderson from Lincoln Arts Centre. So the first thing I'd like to do is to ask Ben and Holly each to introduce themselves and then tell us just a little bit about Lincoln Arts Centre so that we can get a flavour of what their journey might be, of how to contextualise their Ramps journey. Holly, would you like to introduce yourself and say hello, please?
Hello, I'm Holly. I'm the general manager at Lincoln Arts Centre. My role is very operational, very much the driving kind of the visitor experience of the venue. And this journey is kind of helping us with finding out where we want to go next and how we can really embed all the learning from the cohort within visitor experience perspective, but then helping Ben with the bigger picture.
Holly does herself a disservice there because Holly does much more than just one element of the organisation. Holly generally is the superhero of Lincoln Arts Centre and drives so much more than just one element of the organisation. And I'm not going to say just the visitor experience because that's a very important part of it, but it's generally operational across a whole range of things from finance to built, you know, from, we had a flood the other day in the, in one of the...
It's still going.
It's everything. It just generally lubricates the cogs that make the building and the organisation run. So, you know, it's great to work with Holly. She's just brilliant.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Thanks for that addition to Holly's introduction to herself. Maybe I better ask Holly to start to introduce you. Holly, who's Ben?
I was just setting that up.
No, Ben is an absolute pleasure to work with. And I think that all of us in the team, actually, some of us have been at the Arts Centre for such a long time. And Ben came in, how long ago now? 3 years ago. With just a breath of fresh air, really. And brought the building back to life, I think. And we just have a great time. And that's nice. Kind of, it doesn't feel like work most of the time because we are having such a wonderful time together.
Brilliant. Brilliant. What a joy. Ben, your chance to introduce yourself. And also, if you don't mind, just a few words about Lincoln Arts Centre and who you are and what you do would be really, really helpful.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm Ben Anderson. My official title is the Creative and Executive Director of Lincoln Arts Centre. But really, I'm just one of the team. And I have been for three years. I've had the pleasure of working at the Arts Centre and also the wider University of Lincoln for 3 years. The Arts Centre is the University of Lincoln's public arts centre. It is where our public programme connects with our students, and there's 1,500 of them. We've got quite a lot. It's a thriving creative arts programme that exists in the building. And really our job is, or my task, when I was appointed 3 years ago, and I must say that the university gave me a really strong and clear steer when I arrived. It was wicked to come into an organisation that had done that work, had really thought about what it wants from a university arts centre. And so it's really clear to me that my job was to synergise our university context with our public programme and to really make sure that we were selling that as a strength, and so that we proudly wear the university tag now. You know, we're not a city centre arts centre. We're a campus-based arts centre. There's a moat. There's a bridge that you have to get across before you get to us. When you arrive onto campus, it's a managed space. It's very different to the high street. It feels different. And so it's a completely different vibe. But we do have 17,000 students on our doorstep. We do have brilliant researchers to play with and have fun with. There's so many strengths that we do have. And I think sometimes we shy away from those strengths because we focus on what we're not. And we struggle to get, you know, we struggle to be relevant to the city or to relevant to a place. But, you know, we really need to lean into the university element of the Arts Centre. So that was kind of my job. So I arrived in 2023. Did I arrive in 2023? Yeah, I did.
No, I'm 22.
22. I arrived in 22. And we became a national portfolio organisation in 23. So I arrived in the August, we got announced in October, we sort of joined in the April, and that accelerated a whole range of stuff for us. So we are now the home of new artists and new artistic ideas, where talent development is key to support those 1,500 students as they leave university and make a contribution to our sector and to our world. We believe in a world transformed by creativity, and we believe the way to get a world transformed by creativity is to support artists to make and create brand new, exciting and brilliant work that's rooted in community, but also thinking about things globally as well. And being a university, being on another strength of being on a university campus is that we can anchor ourselves in our civic place, our local place, but also have a global perspective. We have many brilliant international students, and that's something that we're really proud of. And it's something, it's another one of our strengths. So we designed a business. I arrived 23. We designed a new business plan, which was called Lincoln's Future Arts Centre. And we've been running our business plan. We're just getting to the end of our current business plan, and we're going on to our next business plan, which is why this work is situated where it is. So perfectly fits with our plans in the sense that we're going to shape the next 3 or 4 years.
Which is exactly what I want to pick up on, Ben. And thank you, because that was probably one of the most brilliant, passionate and clear explanations of what an organisation does I've heard in a very long time. So brilliant. So, yeah, carry on. Why Ramps on the Moon and why May 2025? Why did you choose to be part of this cohort programme?
So as part of the Future Arts Centre business plan that we had, Lincoln's Future Arts Centre business plan, we committed to transformation across 4 pillars of work: people, place, perception and programme. And we really had to drive all of those key changes in those areas. When I arrived in 22, I had 10 minutes of Holly before they went on maternity leave, and they said, good luck, have fun, see you later, which is brilliant. And then I went upstairs and the office was full of wood and the window was smashed. And I didn't have a laptop. And I went downstairs to the team meeting, and then there was 2 members of team arrived at the team meeting because there was only 2 members of staff. And it was really like, whoa, okay, what are we going to do here? We need to check. We need to completely transform. But what that enabled us was freedom. We've got nothing at the minute other than a rich history of 10 years worth of great work that's happened previously, which the pandemic has completely ravaged from us. I've arrived in an organisation that is on its knees completely. And that's freeing, because there's nothing, like, it can only get better from here. And if we're going to start again and deliver a business plan and deliver an art centre fit for the future, then we're going to do it with values that align with our contemporary setting, which, you know, one of which is anti-ableist, as well as anti-racist, as well as completely queer inclusive. We're not prepared. What's the point of becoming an organisation, carrying on, if we're not going to do those things? So it enabled us some freedom. And also it enabled us to kind of go, well, if we're going to turn everything upside down or start again, or there isn't really anything to dismantle, or there's no kind of structures that are holding us back, we're only building. Mm. And in so building, it's only our fault if we build it with barriers. So there's a little bit of accountability there as well. And, you know, we've definitely done that over the last business plan. We've definitely built with barriers. And so there's a little bit of dismantling our own work in the next period. But now we're in a place of, we're in a more resilient place. We're way more resilient. We're not in a place of scarcity. We're not at risk of complete closure. We're in a place of, like, not necessarily abundance, but we're in a place of, like, it's possible. We've got jigsaw pieces that are kind of in their place, and we've got a few more to add in to the pot. And now it's a place of growth. And so we felt like we wanted to make sure that we had an ability to transform our culture and to hold the difficult conversations and to be equipped to deal with them into the next business plan, so that when we didn't get lazy or complacent around our business plan, so that we were able to do that. And I was fortunate enough to work with People Make It Work on the last business plan, because I was on their Creative Transformation Programme. That was completely transformative. It enabled me to come back to the organisation equipped with the language and ability to challenge. And we've now created an environment, I hope, where everybody feels like they can challenge with care. And we all speak, we kind of speak the same language. I haven't worked in an organisation that has never had really any, touch wood, major HR issues that are draining. We haven't had any. And we all have a shared language. and we're on the same page. It's great.
And Holly, I'd also love to know from you when, because I had a conversation with Ben, and when Ben introduced this idea of being part of the Ramps on the Moon cohort, what was your response, your immediate response, and then maybe a considered response?
Oh, it was when you came to our conference and you did your keynote. You said, it's like they were expecting me, even though they didn't know I was coming. And it's just stuck with me the whole time. And I think it's wonderful. And then I thought, okay, the passion for us here is how we embed it, not just within the team, but as like the within the culture of, you know, who comes, who goes. And initially I thought, well, we've got a few things that we're doing, but it'd be nice to have a main guide or something where we're learning and then we can apply that immediately, consistently, as part of something together with other venues. And this was perfect to have this new, because we've learned new things along the way. Mm. And we had a chat with you about it being inevitable that we have this way of working with others and within the team and externally and the public. And that excited me because I just think that you can never stop learning, can you? Or asking questions. And I think you've created this space where we can ask questions and be curious about it. Because if not, then you're not going to get anywhere really, and you're not going to make the changes that you need to make.
Few things that Holly's just said there in terms of like asking questions and being curious, they're like culture things. They're not to-do lists. They're not like, and I think sometimes with our approach to business planning is that it is becomes a to-do list. I mean, we have our pillars of transformation, and on there we've got objectives and we need to hit them, and those things are really great for driving accountability and change. But the thing that's brilliant about this program is that it's not necessarily about your to-do list, because which then it just places it in a completely different place. It's about equipping us with the ability to ask the right questions, as Holly said, and the ability to be curious in the right way.
I remember that conversation that we had in your office in Lincoln, being really struck by how strategic your thinking was and how strategic your aspirations were. And I guess one thing that I'm interested in terms of your journey is, have those aspirations, have those ambitions for what you're going to get out of the program, have they changed at all? Have they developed? Or are they the same? Were you kind of spot on back in February or March when you asked to be part of the program?
The thing that I'm conscious of is that shit happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And certainly my original plan around the business plan timeline, we're still keeping to that business plan timeline, but there is, like, our business plan is one of three that would be written across the cultural assets that the university manages, potentially four, a part of the wider university strategy that's completely in flux. So I think that's made me go, have we made as much progress as we would like to? And I don't know what the answer to that is. An affirmative yes, but it almost feels like we keep getting gems from our sessions that need to percolate. It's almost like you need to do the thing and then do the thing. Yeah. And if you do them in parallel, that's fine, but it might be more effective if you do the thing and then do the thing, because you need to do some thinking that's going to inform some practice.
What you're reflecting back is that your experience so far, so I should say we're five sessions in, we're 6 months in.
Yeah.
We're exactly halfway through the year that we have together. And what I'm hearing you reflect back is that for you, this is an experience of spending a year collecting gems, as you've said. I want to talk about other partners in the cohort as well and what you've got from them. And implementing some learning and letting other learning percolate, and that you will be doing the work for a long time after we finish working together next June.
Well, we've not written our business plan, right? So maybe the business plan is not written. I thought it might be a little bit more written than it is. Things are happening all the time in this space. You know, we we had a session the other week on it. We were doing the Access Everything chart. There's things happening. People are being in the building, and we're trying to reduce barriers when we come across them, and we've got a shared language a bit more now, and maybe a little bit more confidence around it. So it is happening, but our specific change was around our putting our business plan for an anti-ableist lens, and I think that's to come. I think the juicy bit of that is to come, which is kind of exciting. And there's part of me that's like, let's not beat ourselves up about that. There's an exciting moment to come, and the more gems we can collect, the more shiny that thing will be. And we want a glistening thing by the end of it, right?
Yeah. Holly, have you had any challenging conversations about this stuff?
Well, we invited all our team and had an afternoon where we updated them with what we were doing, well, what Ben and I were doing, and what another member of our team was doing as part of our journey. And they asked a lot of questions. And like Ben said before, sometimes we are the barrier of the right answer, or if anything can happen. I mean, not necessarily just us, but the wider context of it. But I think creating that space, new ideas did come up, and the team were in a space where they could challenge us. And a lot of it is like lived experience, which I think is the best experience that you can have. And the team kind of shared what they have, what barriers they faced, and how we can make small wins. And we went into this afternoon with just, let's do the quick things. What could we change now? I don't remember the future ones, because we were, it was a bit of a state of flux that we were in at the time. And we couldn't make those long-term changes because there were so many hoops to jump through. So I said, well, what could we do now based on who's in the room? And that kind of started everyone's thinking. Yeah, it just started the ball rolling to get everyone into this mindset.
Can you give us an example?
Oh, let's think of an example. Probably digitally. I think we made a lot of digital changes. Digital access and the website. And then the university surprised us with some budget. And we made a physical change to our box office area, where we lowered the counter and made it much longer. Because at the time, it just kind of had this bit of desk that was lower, but it wasn't really incorporated into the style of the box office and the bar. It felt very separate. So we were able to create a longer counter where it's kind of box office bar combined, and it made the whole it's the first thing you see when you come in the building, to be fair. That welcoming entrance,
you couldn't get anything under it. So initially it was just a lower bar, but like if you're going to wheel up to the bar, then you're going to need to put your legs somewhere. So it was just that kind of user design. I'm pretty sure that afternoon contributed to almost the starting point for a bit of a conversation with our customers, our database, about access and how they like to tell us and communicate their access or how to communicate the removal of barriers to the building. We've not really done a great job on that in the past. We don't have an access register or access scheme or anything like that. We don't have a lot of intelligence on our audience or information about our audience. And so we've tried to make that kind of that disclosure, I guess, a little bit more friendly, or in a way that they want to communicate with us. So we've now improved our knowledge of our audience, so we know what to anticipate when people arrive in our building, and then therefore what kinds of things that we need to amend or change a little bit more. That came from that afternoon.
Yeah.
Nice. Can I ask you about your relationships with peers on the cohort and how you've found that, how you found being in a room or on a Zoom with people from lots of other organisations, different from yours, some non-building based? What impact, if any, has that had on you and your change?
I think it's I've found it quite validating, in the sense that there's like lots of people experiencing the same kinds of anxieties and worries that you do. It's quite inspiring in that you might spot somebody's really tangible example that you can apply. And I guess it's kind of also accountability driving in that you get a little bit jealous when somebody's done a really good thing and you want to do it really well too. So there's a little bit of competitive, come on, you're doing a really good thing. That sounds great. Why didn't we think of that? Why the hell haven't we done it? Let's get on with it. Kick ourselves at the bum a little bit. So yeah, it's kind of the peer-to-peer stuff is really, it's just useful, isn't it? It's so much better than sitting listening to some slides or, you know, somebody being taught.
Yeah, it brings a sense of reality to it, that this is actually real problems or real challenges or really great stuff, as you say, as jealous as you might be. But it's amazing watching you all sit down and talk about your own organisations. I can just see that you're all learning each other's learning as well, if that makes sense. It's really lovely to see. And a lot of the other cohorts say how useful it is. And, I think the idea is in the future that they remain peers.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it doesn't stop there. You go on.
I think sometimes you can come to some sessions as well, and it's hard to carve out the time. You sometimes arrive at them feeling pretty beat up by the week. Or they sometimes, you know, you're dealing with some absolute nonsense that you've been dealing with for a while and you're feeling pretty beat up. And it's kind of nice to be in a space with others. And it comes back to that to-do list thing again. As if I get to a training session, the training session is another thing I've got to do.
Yeah.
Peer-to-peer network is something that's going to nourish me.
And the cohort's so diverse, which I think is great for us because we're like a bit of a niche in it. Being an art centre and on a university campus, and then you've got the much larger venues, and then you've got just the touring companies. And I don't spend a lot of time with talking to touring companies, and they're the people that I've ended up speaking to most of the time. Either I've known them from before, or other job, other work, and so that's been really great because it's then made me probably think about something that I've not thought about. That they're experiencing, and we could have a look at that from a venue perspective, with them if they were coming to us. So that's kind of helpful as it's broadened the learning even further, because then you've got all these other people to learn from. And you do get stuck. I mean, I get stuck in my venue bubble a lot. So going to a different place, I mean, when we were in Birmingham recently, that was wonderful because I love going outside of the city and seeing a different venue and how it works, and being in the room with other people has been really great for that.
It makes it feel possible, doesn't it? I mean, when you sat in your bedroom and your pants are hanging up to the left-hand side of you, it doesn't really feel like you can achieve much. Like, these big things don't feel possible. But when you're in other buildings and venues where it all, there's resource and you look around you and it's there, it all feels possible.
Where do you hope to be in 6 months' time?
The business plan will be written. And that business plan will have gone through that anti-ableist lens in that we will have specifically asked, we will have used the language that we have learned about to ask specific questions of that business plan. And that might mean that the business plan is structured differently or looks differently to make change inevitable. And I guess maybe the thing that we'll be able to mark our success on is whether we think the things that we've put in that plan create the conditions for inevitability or not. And if they're not creating the conditions for inevitability, then we've failed or we've not succeeded as much as we'd like.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, the big question is, how are we going to evaluate that?
Yeah, that was going to be my question, was how will you know that your investment in the Ramps on the Moon cohort has been worth it?
I think it's in small gestures than not necessarily. I mean, obviously, the grand gesture of the business plan is there. And maybe gestures is the wrong word because it feels tokenistic. But it's in the small moments. We're in a team meeting, and yes, we've got EDI or inclusion or whatever on our, it's an agenda item on our every meeting. But it's when somebody brings it up in another space or another time it's when it becomes unrecognizable, maybe, or non-celebratory. Like, we don't need to celebrate this stuff. It's just
happening. I was about to say something like that, in the sense that it's already happening.
Yeah.
It's already happened, so you don't even need to talk about it because it's already a thing. That's kind of what I was talking about earlier with what you said when you were our keynote about it's already happened.
As if when you start talking about it, maybe.
It's just part of.
That's the paradox, isn't it? It's like you'll know you've been successful when you're not talking about it anymore.
Exactly. Like, it just becomes what it is. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Zana. Is there anything else that you want to pick up on?
No, I don't think so. I love the idea that it's just part of everything that you do now, and it's second nature. It's built in. It's in the consciousness.
What I'm really impacted by what you say is actually, and this particular thought hasn't occurred to me before, but you're talking about teams that are spread out. You're talking about only having a core team of seven. And in that kind of context, the fact that this is about culture is so important, because if it's a to-do list, you're never going to reach everybody. It has to be the culture. It has to be what people experience when they work with Lincoln Arts Centre. And it has to be that intangible stuff.
You said, it's like they were expecting me, even though they didn't know I was coming.
It's great, that, isn't it? That was a quote from a friend of mine, yeah. And I think you've just summed that up brilliantly in terms of your aspirations and also your achievements even already in relation to the RAMPS cohort and anti-ableism.
Yeah.
So thank you both so much for your time. I could listen to you both for hours. Honestly, I love your integrity and coherence and congruence around this stuff. You're really living it and walking the walk as well as talking the talk, which is just great. So thank you for your time, and thank you for being willing to share some of that. Thank you so much, Holly. Thank you, Ben. Have a good one. Thank you both very much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.